Good morning. It is a privilege for me to be here and a real blessing. We're also glad that a good group of our family's here. And you may hear the littlest members of the family, but they only have good things to say, so that's okay. I want to start by reading for you from Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, starting in verse 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What's the wisest thing that anyone ever said to you? I'm sure we can maybe think the wisest thing of the day or the wisest thing of the week. Maybe it was something like, you better marry her. Or you better marry him. Or take an umbrella. The Oscar-winning actor Sir Anthony Hopkins said the wisest thing that anyone ever said to him was, "Why don't you just trust God?" The wisest thing. He was at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and was having a conversation with a woman, and may have begun with small talk, but it didn't stop there. And you know what? He said he did. He did trust God. And it changed his life and his story. Now, just for a minute, imagine all the parties at which people had tried to impress him with their intellect or their sophistication, which means their worldliness, or their self-help advice, or their wealth. Yet it was someone who shared their faith who changed his life. His story up to then was that he was, as the saying goes today, a hot mess. In his own words, he said he was disgusted, busted, and not to be trusted. You have to wonder if someone didn't tell him that, but he owned those words, disgusted, busted, and not to be trusted. What would be our story today in our own words? How would we describe ourselves? Are we a hot mess in some way? Why not just trust God? It's a serious question and a natural one. Because we're not only commanded to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, but to trust Him with all our hearts. My confirmation verse is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and lean not on your own understanding. We're not just to love Him. We're to trust Him with all our hearts. In the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, the first verse, Jesus said to his disciples, "You trust in God, trust also in me." Do you know that we wouldn't have had Christmas this last year if it wasn't for people who didn't lean on their own understanding and instead trusted God? Zechariah and Elizabeth John went against all the expectations and all the tradition, all that was expected of him when he said their child would be named John. Mary and Joseph, we hardly need to say how they did not lean on their own understanding. The shepherds who left their flocks at night. The wise men who made their way to a stable, a cave. These people let God take them to places they'd never been before, physically and spiritually. Our grandson, Paula wanted to take him somewhere, and our grandson said to her, "Grandma, you're going to take me to some place I've never been." He would have rather gone back to some place he had been. Can you think of some places that we'd all like to go back to? Think of Peter. Think of Peter in Luke 5:5. We know the story of Peter. He had fished all day, and Peter had had it. He quit. Came back to shore. Right? Pulled in the nets. And Jesus told him, "Put the nets in on the other side." I'm not sure we, at first glance, would have heard Peter say, "That's great advice." But he did it. Why? Because he agreed with Jesus? No. Because he thought it was a good idea? No. He did it because he trusted him. That's the kind of trust that we're talking about, that Jesus was talking about, that Proverbs was talking about. Trust him with all our hearts, even when our heart hurts. Trust him with all our hearts. I was given a mug one time that said, and I'm a Finnish person, half Finnish. Someone gave me a mug that said, "Take a Finn's advice, but never use it." I didn't take it too personally. I offered some advice, but now, as a Finnish person, I'm glad to tell you that there's room in the same boat for you too. You see, Proverbs 28, verse 26 says that the man who trusts in himself is a fool. That's kind of blunt. The man who trusts in himself is a fool. And that woman, we want to include you with this. So the person who trusts in himself is a fool. Have you ever proved that right in your own life? How many times? We're fools. Jesus said to them, and remember, before Jesus ever told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation and make disciples, he said that at the end of Matthew, before he said goodbye for now to his disciples, before he ever said that, he said, "Come to me." Before he ever said go, he said, "Come. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Yokes were handmade back then. In an agricultural world, everyone knew what that was. It was for the oxen. "Take my yoke upon you. Submit to me." Jesus came to save us, but he also came to lead us, to teach us, to lead us by still waters, but also in paths of righteousness. How many classes of his have we skipped? How many lessons have we ignored? How many things have we never applied? Do you know that the greatest learning curve in life is when you and I bow our heads before Jesus? When we put on the yoke, which is a symbol of submission, submission in trust, a willingness to be taken places by Jesus physically and spiritually that we've never been before, for His mission, for His purposes, for His pleasure. And you know, of all the questions that Jesus would ask of us, I don't think one of them would be, are you comfortable? But it would be, are you willing? Are you willing? You know, we hear the term today, be your best self and live your best life. I discovered, and not without some pain, that my best self and my best life was when I'm in the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus. That is my best life. That's when I'm my best self, when I'm in the process of being conformed to the image of Jesus, which is God's goal for us. Jesus came to, in the words of Scripture, came to be the firstborn, but not the only born. The firstborn, followed by you and I. We're to be conformed to the image of Jesus, not overnight. Instead of being squeezed into the world's mold. Have you ever felt that squeeze? It's gradual. See, the world wants to make us feel like we're fools because we trust God. In fact, I'm sure that Sir Anthony Hopkins had probably been in many gatherings where that came up. Those crazy Christians. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it's not easy. You know, have you ever done any spiritual pouting? And I don't mean the deep, deep, deep laments that come out of our soul. I mean the daily disagreeableness, the daily grumpiness that we're all prey to. As in, well, what have you done for me lately, Jesus? What have you done for me lately? And at times, I bet we can even relate to the other thief on Calvary. Not the one that we celebrate, who said, remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom. I'm talking about the other thief who raged at Jesus and said, if you are the King of the Jews, if you are the Messiah, save yourself and us. We read about that in Luke 23. The 39th verse. And what he was doing was he was proposing a merger. He had the desire, Jesus had the power, and Jesus was a great means to his end. He didn't get it. And sometimes we don't. Jesus isn't just a means to our end. In fact, quite the opposite. We're the means to his end. God doesn't do mergers. God makes acquisitions. Jesus makes acquisitions. The Holy Spirit makes acquisitions. Jesus acquires us for his use. Are we doing that every day? Am I doing that every day? Have we ever done that? We're always thinking, you know, now's not a good time. And tomorrow, that might not be a good day for that either. We can hold out hope for a merger. trust me. Those are the two words God has for us. Trust me. And maybe you've heard people complain about someone, oh, that's their answer for everything. I think my mom said that about my dad once. That is God's answer for everything. That's God's answer in everything. Trust me. And you know what? It's also a requirement for everything. Happy is the man, happy is the person who trusts in the Lord. It was on the screen. Trust is the requirement for everything. We all have heard the name Jamie Kloss, who was abducted after her parents were killed. And then we were all excited and thrilled when we heard that she escaped. The first thing she did was she ran towards the first person she saw and she said, "Help. I'm Jamie Kloss." Do you know what that woman said to her? "I know who you are." Jesus knows who you and I are. Come to me. Even when we might be disgusted and know we're not to be trusted, even when we feel like we bear no resemblance at all to Jesus, even when we've been a fool, even when we've ran to the wrong person, even when we've run the wrong way, and perhaps you've said over and over to yourself, "When will I ever learn?" And do you know that that depends? When will we ever submit? See, our best self isn't the self that can fool other people. Our best self isn't the self that can manipulate other people. Our best self isn't the self that can get other people to enable us. Our best self is when we're in the process, sometimes painful process, of being conformed to Jesus. Christ-likeness. I started to explain something to a friend one day, and he stopped me and said, "I trust you." Can we imagine ourselves saying that to Jesus? Interrupting him if he were to start explaining something. Interrupting him and saying, "I don't need an explanation. I just plain trust you." Even when we think there can be no explanation, trust me. He knows who we are. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together and sing from our hearts the song "He Is Ever Over Me."